You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
In this episode, we're going to hear from a young man who, for many years, struggled with the symptoms of multiple sclerosis. He tried everything, including bee stings, and then discovered the benefits of medical cannabis. Joining us from Croatia is Juanito Luksetic. Juanito, good to talk to you. Thank you very much for doing this.
Hello, Jan. Hello to all the people around the world, and thank you for listening. And hello, Corey.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
Juanito, I was reading the piece that you sent us regarding your condition, and you lived in California for 6 years. And
yes.
While in California as a teenager, you discovered your first symptoms of MS. Tell us about that.
Yes, actually, that was in 94 when I was 16 years old, and I came by plane in Monterey Bay, and we came home by car, of course, and I took my bags from a car to my room. And instantly, my feet became numb. So I lost kind of funny feeling, like I went over the fire or something. It's a funny feeling. So that was the first time. That lasted for a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks, and then it just disappeared. So I was really happy because I just couldn't explain. I had tears in my eyes. And I couldn't even explain to anybody what was happening at that point. So I was really happy it disappeared.
When did the symptoms start to come back again?
Well, since I was doing a lot of sports and a lot of physical work and training, then I noticed that something was happening with my feet again. So that, like after 6 months, you know, because I was in high school and I was training, but I was not so much worried because I learned that, you know, in a couple of weeks, everything's going to be fine. So when it appeared for the second time, after like three or four weeks, so a week or two longer than before, it took for it to disappear again, you know. So, but I knew it was going to disappear, so it was much easier for me, so I didn't worry that much.
Did you think of going to the doctor?
So, I went to a doctor. That was 3 or 4 years later, so that was the first symptoms. But after the months and years, it repeated, and so it came and left and so on. And then one day, I don't know how to describe this symptom, but so in the lower, my lower back spine, it's like I had a feeling like there is something there. And then after a couple of weeks, it's like some belts in the lower part of, so around my spine and belly, some kind of belts with weight came. It was like confusing, you know. I was worried then. Then I went to a doctor, you know, they took my blood and urine, and they say, you do sports, we can see that in your blood, you're all cool, you know, you can go home. So that was, I was really happy to hear that, but I was not happy because, you know, I still had a problem and I didn't know how to describe. And then they didn't send me to do some more checkups, you know.
So the doctors felt that because you were participating in sports, that it may be related to sports activity. Therefore, your blood work looked good, and they couldn't find anything wrong with you. But you had this weight around your middle, like you were... Go ahead.
Yeah. Like you have a belt on your pants, right? So,
yeah.
So similar, like, so I took my pants off and I still had a feeling like I have some kind of belt. And then later on, these belts, they got on my chest, you know. It was crazy, you know. There's something on my chest, but you see nothing, you know. But then later on, I was thinking, well, maybe it's my spine, you know. I'm working hard, you know, lifting heavy things. Maybe I shouldn't. So I was thinking that's something connected with my spine. It was crazy. So years down the road in Croatia, I learned that's got nothing to do with the spine. Even though in Croatia, later on, with the same problem when it appeared, even stronger, I went to a chiropractor. nutritionist.
Right.
How do you say?
Chiropractor.
Yeah, chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
And when he broke me, just that second, it disappeared for the first time. But the second time, it never disappeared again. But that was years later, you know, in 94 till the end of 99, there was just some kind of beginning where I didn't know anything. And doctors, they said, yeah, you're cool. You can go, you can run, which I could have done back then, you know. Those symptoms you can see, they don't really disturb you in a way that you don't have motorics. I had my motorics. It's just I was unhappy. There was something wrong with my body. I just didn't know how to explain.
Did you still, at that point, were you having the numbness in your feet still?
Today?
No. When you had the problems, like where it felt like you had a belt around your spine, did you have the numb
not
feet
always.
With it?
Not always. It was separated, you know, so different periods.
Yeah.
But sometimes it was at the same time. When I went to a doctor, that was at the same time, you know. I was worried. That happened at the same time. But not only numbness in my feet or that strange feeling in my around in the lower part of my spine, but also when I took when I went to toilet, I started having problems, not so big, with urinating, and I also back then when I had like you know, a girlfriend, I had sexual problems also, you know, the dropping of potency and erection, but it was not that much, but I saw that something was not right. I just didn't know what.
Yeah, because you're a young man, and for you to be experiencing problems.
Yeah, that's the thing. And when I went to a toilet, I couldn't feel anything, you know. I had to take number two, and I didn't feel anything. That was like the worst period in my life in California. I was so sad, you know. I cannot explain. Those are the symptoms. They are nothing comparing to what happened down the road, you know, years down.
Take us down the road and tell us what it was like as those symptoms got worse.
Well, at the end of 99, I came back home. So I continued training in athletics. I was running like a mile, couple miles, 10 miles, 15 miles, 20 miles, 50 miles marathons, and doing the push-ups. Yeah, I like sports very much. I didn't smoke, I didn't drink alcohol or anything. I lived straight. I was in California, I didn't smoke one joint. I was spending time with people that used cannabis every day. But, you know, I was taught I shouldn't do it because it destroys your brain and body and mind. It's poison for you. So I didn't do it. I was raised up, you know, my parents, they taught me, my grandparents, they taught me that way. Even they grew. You see, in Croatia, we use hemp. To us, hemp is cannabis, marijuana, weed. We use one word, konoplya. So hemp means cannabis to us.
Right.
It's all the same when I talk. It's just so the people can understand what I'm saying. So anyway, you know, I left California without smoking one joint. And then I came back home, and then I had a girl, you know, who had more experience with cannabis, and I was not really even happy about that, even though I had a big, huge tolerance, which is normal for me when I was in California. I was spending time with my friends, and 80 or 90% of them, they were like using cannabis every day, even managers in a hotel where I worked, you know. So I saw the people agree to me, and I didn't see anything wrong, and I spent time with them. I went surfing, playing all the sports, and it was great. I came home, you know, I didn't learn anything about cannabis, but I was in a state or a country where cannabis it's a culture, it's a way of life. That's the way I see it back now where I was. But it's sad that nobody knew anything about hemp or cannabis, the medicinal value, you know. That's I'm not happy about that, but I'm really happy I learned down the road. So I came home, and you know, I continued running, doing all these sports, and then one day I went to work with a friend. Actually, he's a police officer now in he doesn't work now, but he's a friend. He used to work in the crime police, and we lifted heavy bags of cement and, I don't know, some wood. And a couple days later, I lost a fine feeling in my right hand, in my right arm. It became heavy, like I had 10, 15 kilos. I couldn't write. I couldn't shave myself. I couldn't eat with it. That was really serious, you know. And then I was stubborn. I didn't go to a doctor for a couple of weeks. And then I see, you know, this is not going any better, just worse. The way I couldn't even drive my car, you know, couldn't shift the gears or change the station, nothing. I went to a doctor. Actually, my mom took me to a doctor. They put some needles in my arms on a computer, and they saw everything is okay. Like we see on a computer, you know, the spikes, and there is going a signal through your nerves. So everything is okay. So they sent me home again. You know.
Yeah, you know that you're not okay, right? Because you've got all these symptoms. You've got to be feeling really scared at this point.
Oh, yeah, because I was thinking my mom had to help me, you know, to button my shirt, you know, sometimes when I was shaving or, you just can't use your right arm whatsoever. I came home and I said, okay, what I'm going to do? And I was just being still for a couple months, and then it came back little bit by little bit, but I never got back my fine feeling in the right arm. So I got the motorics back. It came by itself again after a couple months. But then a few months later, it happened to me in my left arm. So the same thing. So I didn't have fine feeling. Also couldn't use the motorics for a while, for a couple months. But then it came back. And then I was starting to suspect that it's got to do something with lifting heavy things. So I continued living with less physical work. And that did okay for a few years. It was okay, you know. I was kind of happy, but not happy, you know, because I like sports, you know, and working hard. Then all these symptoms before I went to doctor, my left eye, I think, starting running from left to right side, you know, just running. I couldn't have a stabilized picture. It's hard to explain.
Oh, so it was wandering? The eye was wandering, do you mean?
And my left eye was running from left to right side. I couldn't fix the object or whatever I was looking at. I couldn't fix the picture at one place. It was running from left to right and back.
Okay. Right. Okay. So you were starting to have, besides the physical problems, you were starting to have problems with your vision.
Yeah, that was in, I think, 2005, you know. And then I was kind of scared because, you see, these symptoms, they didn't come up like today, and today is the worst. It takes 3 to 7 days for it to start and to end, and then to stay for that for a few months. And that's what happened to me. I went to a doctor again, of course, and so my local doctor, she said this is urgent. When I came to a neurologist, they just passed me to audiologists, and the guy gave me some pills. And I was reading, you know, the paper, you know, about the effects of that medicine and what can happen, the good things, the bad things, you know. And it was like I was taking it for a week or two, and I was scared because nothing happened to me in a good way, you know. Not it stayed, not in a bad or a good. So I called the doctor. I'm sorry, I'm scared. You know, this is really strong medicine, but nothing is happening. And he said, don't worry, you know, come, we'll check you up again. He did. You just continue. And then after a month or two after the second checkup, I saw, no, this is coming back. You know, I was all happy, you know. So, but then when it came back again, I did the same thing. I went to a doctor, he gave me the pills, and then after a few months, 2 or 3, it came back. But then later on down the road, all these other symptoms like numbness in my feet, then some kind of heaviness in my lower muscles in legs, leaves, right? They got kind of like, I don't know how you call it, spasms, or I call it weight, mm-hmm. weight or tightness in my muscles. But you see nothing. So I walk normally and everything, but I just feel strange and scared, actually. And when, I mean, to cut the short story, if possible, so one day, that was like in 2008, I was really working hard. I was working in a hotel and wellness center a few miles from my place. I was working night shifts.
as a receptionist, and during the day I was working in tourism on a project for private accommodation in Croatia, and I was sleeping maybe 4 or 5 hours a day, eating what I was eating, and all the symptoms came back at the same time, even worse. So that was like the beginning or the end of July, beginning of August 2008, when I started limping. I lost some motoric in my right hand, my left hand, double vision. I just couldn't. I don't know how I came to my doctor. I was really scared, and I said nothing to my mom or whoever was near me. I just went to a doctor, and she said, "Look, you have to go to a hospital for a checkup." And I did. I stayed there for a month, you know. And they said, "You have MS." So they gave me, when they realized what I have and what's the problem, so multiple sclerosis, they gave me some solmedrol, that's corticosteroids, mm-hmm. right? They gave me like each day like 1,000 milligrams for 7 days, and asking me every day if I'm better. But I was watching MDM and seeing double of them and double of everything, and wondering why are they asking me that? Don't they see my eye is blocked? I mean, it's nothing better. And afterwards, my mom took me, you know, she was all in tears, and I said to myself, you know, there is nothing to do than take care of yourself, to see what you can do, not to cry, you know. And she took me for a second opinion in Zagreb to a main neurologist in Croatia. And the doctor, I took my laptop with all the MRIs that I had from Rijeka, a couple of them actually, and she said, by looking at those pictures on my laptop and looking at me and my mother, and she said to me, there is no help for you. There is nothing to whatsoever, you know. And then
you were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and the medical profession said there's nothing they can do for you.
Yes, that's the main lady doctor, professor, neurologist in Croatia, and you know, my friend helped me to come in her office, and my mom, and that was really you know, it wasn't really nice to hear or feel these words, especially when my mom is around him, because she's really sensual, so I'm much stronger in that way emotionally. But still, I think that's not the way to talk to a patient. For example, when I was in Rijeka for a month, I mean, I was in a hospital, but I felt like I was in a hotel, just because one doctor, a neurologist, he was smiling every day and talking to me, and he said, "It's nothing serious, don't worry." You know, even though he knew it's a serious condition that I have, he said, "You know, you can still play soccer and whatever, you know, football." I said, "Cool," you know, and that was really helpful. And then he said, "Don't worry, well, you know, the technology is going forward, the medicine is researching," you know, and that was a really nice approach, you know. And in Zagreb, when this lady told me that, I said, "Oh, what's happening? You know, how is that possible for a doctor to tell me all these words that there is no help for me?" And they went to all this school and all this knowledge, you know, they have. And I said, "Okay, I'll do everything for my health," to her, looking at her eyes. And
So I'm sorry, Juanito, I just want to say that in August of 2008, you were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And then in December of 2008, you started to apply bee stings.
Yes.
And when I was reading your story about the bee stings, I thought, man, that must hurt. Tell us the story about the bee stings.
Oh, man, this is above pain. Actually, it's not even pain, it burns, but somehow one guy in Croatia gave me some information about all the doctors around the world that he knew or he knows, and they are using conventional medicine, but also natural medicine, and they also have MS patients. So I contacted them all around the world, California, India, and here in Europe, Denmark, and the one guy in Denmark, doctor, you know, he said, he wrote to me, "Look, I have a MS doctor friend, and she is doing some bee stings, and took care of some nutrition, which I knew nothing back then about, and so I tried to find somebody in Croatia who knows about the bee stings. I couldn't find, so I went to found one guy in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and
I asked him in the first conversation, look, can I eat the bee venom? Because, you know, these bee stings, I cannot believe that he was telling me this over the phone, that I have to take the bee and put on my skin or on my body, you know. That was like crazy. And yeah, he told me, look, you have to do it like every second day, 20 to 30, and on a free day, the day between, around 3 to 5.
20 to 30 bee stings? Mm.
Yeah, every second day.
Where did you find the bees?
Well, and the guy told me, look, it's best for you to have the hive, beehive in your room. So I went to a beekeeper, and I bought a beehive from him. For a first while, for a few couple weeks in the beginning, I went to his place to get the bees. Then I came home or at my father's place where they helped me, you know, to catch the bees and apply on my body. That was like catching three bees in the beginning for 2 hours, you know, because they are flying around. You don't know anything about these bees.
Sounds like a full-time job.
Yeah, my father helped me, his wife, my mother, you know, whoever I asked, you know. I said, okay, so how it works? You have to catch the bee. The best is with your fingers, but I took, tweezers. I took the tweezers. I had the beehive in my room. They flew through the tunnel, through the window, out. They lived their life, and on the exit or on their entrance, I was catching them in one jar, and then I took them to another room. I let them go on the light on the window, and I was catching them with the tweezers and giving my mom so she could apply on the acupuncture
points.
Body.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the idea. So
yeah.
All over the spine, in between the nerves, between, you know, the, how do you call those, spine joints, and around the eye where I had, which was blocked and which was causing the double picture. I made like 500 bee stings. So around my eye, in the. After a month, I was crazy, you know, just that nothing. But I said, you know, I have to continue. There is nothing else I know. You know, they said there is no help for me. And whatever I was reading.
Did getting stung by the bees help you at all in your MS symptoms?
Well, in the beginning, so how it was. So I was doing bee stings for a month, and I was one day I just broke. Because I had a double picture since July and August, mm-hmm. So that's already a few months. And seeing everything double, my father made me glasses so I can use only one eye when I drive and so on. And then one day I just broke, you know, in tears. I couldn't hold it anymore. And then I said to myself, I cannot go like this anymore, you know. I can walk, but I see double. I say, well, let it be. Let it be double vision until the rest of my life. But let me walk, you know. So I made peace myself, you know, I had to. And then I continued with the bee stings. And then one day we were coming from Bosnia from that guy. Because I was scared, I wanted to talk to him more. I realized that something is happening, that my vision is coming back, but I wasn't sure, you know. There was really night and I was driving the car. My father couldn't anymore, you know. He was tired, so I took the wheel. And I was driving, I just turned my head to the right and I saw, well, I see one picture, but it was dark, so I thought I was just imagining, you know. And then later on, when I came home, then I was, you know, trying to research, you know, my thoughts, and then that was it. And for the next month or two, 95% the double vision disappeared or it came back. It a little bit was at the end, when I had a sharp look at the left or right, I saw a little bit of double vision. But that was no concern of mine anymore, because I was so happy as a child to have that result. But all the other symptoms that I had, even the smallest, they never disappeared.
Who, Anita, when did you discover cannabis?
Cannabis, after all these years and doing this and that and trying all these things, I saw everything was going south, no good for me. But I always was reading, and one day I was in MS Association in Rijeka, and our secretary got an email that Rick Simpson is coming in May 2011 in hold a lecture about medicinal use of hemp or cannabis, right? So I say, well, I never heard these words in Croatian. So we use this word konoplja, and we use for a rope word konop. So I thought that that's a plant used just to make ropes. So I didn't go. So I said, well, I know nothing about it. I know what's cannabis. My friend told me, look, this hemp thing, konoplja, is cannabis. So, okay, this is clear to me. So I said, let's see it. You know, let's see what this guy has to tell. Well, in first 15 minutes on his lecture, it was clear to me what do I have to do to approach my problem really seriously with cannabis. So what was really what I wanted to really hear, does it really help for multiple sclerosis? And back then, Rick, he had good information, but mostly about cancer, arthritis, diabetes, and so on. But the question from people came from about MS, it wasn't like today. You know, today I guarantee you, you'll have results. You know, in the beginning, so I said, okay, so I have to grow in my garden. He said that's the best to make my medicine, to make the oil, to use it three times a day, if I can gram a day, if possible, if you have it, right? So my three of my friends, you know, we saw all this. We went in Slovenia and we bought the seeds all together, three of us, you know. We bought 10 seeds each, two strains, hemi indica with a lot of THC. That's what Rick said at that time, you know, 100% indica, only indica dominant with a lot of THC, over 90%. In the extract, you know. So I knew nothing about it, so we went to buy the seeds. When I came to the store, I said to the salesman, look, I want the seed over 90% THC, please.
Yeah. And he said, no can do.
No, he said 25 is the most, you know. So we got those strains that we got information that are good for us, and that worked, you know. So for 5-6 months, that was crazy because in the beginning, you know, I couldn't dig, you know. So I was thinking, where am I going to put these plants? You know, I'm the guy who thought this was a poison, and now I'm going to grow this in my garden. What these people around me going to say, friends and all this? But there was just a 1 second of thoughts, you know. The next second, you just do it because there is nothing else to do for you to try that you know is going to help you. So this might help you or not. I don't know.
So you started making your own oil. Did you notice a difference very quickly when you started taking it?
Yeah. Actually, I had a little bit luck because my friend and I, we only had like 20 grams each of oil. That's all we had. And then I said to myself, I'm looking at those 20 grams, 5-6 months of work, when my friend was helping me and all that. I said, well, I'll just eat it. I have nothing to do with this. I'll just eat it. And I was listening to to Rick's words. That's really important. So he said to start easily with a half grain of rice. That's, I don't know, maybe 5 milligrams or something. So 3 times a day. And he said, you will sleep a lot, you know, to all of us. I said, that's good because I had sleeping problems. And, you know, you have to just eat, drink when you want, and that's it, you know. And first time I took it, I was sleeping like a baby. I just loved it, you know. And then the next day I was in the bed, you know, in the morning, in the afternoon. I took the oil. It was just near my bed. And I was sleeping. And then my mom came and she said, well, you're sleeping all the time, you know. Well, that's how it's supposed to be, mom, you know, that's good. And also my friend came, you know, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay, please leave me alone. And so I used those 20 grams in 22 or 23 days, you know. And throughout these 22 or 23 days, what's really exceptional for MS, maybe some even other health conditions, that what I felt like my condition was worsening. My body was like more tighter. So when I got up and I somehow, I don't know even how, I got to the bathroom, you know, to urinate or whatever on a toilet. And it took me more time to get to the bathroom. So I wasn't really happy, you know. And then I came to urinate. I just couldn't. It was even worse than before. It was like I had to relax more, even not 10 minutes, like 20 minutes I was in the bathroom, you know. And I said, and my mom was telling me, you know, well, you're even worse. I said, no, that's okay, no. But you see what happened. So the 22nd or 23rd day, so I stopped. I didn't have any more. And 24 hours later. So I didn't take any oil for 24 hours. After 24, 25 hours, I got out of the bed. I just didn't believe it. My whole weight, the spasms in my legs, they just disappeared. I wasn't sure, so I went outside, you know, and it was like a hill in front of me. And I couldn't believe it. I had a feeling like I cannot just walk. I can run because there is no limping. There is no spasms. I went to a bathroom, and I urinated just normally to the last drop, you know. I just didn't believe it. But I didn't have any more oil. So after 6 months, this all kind of came back, but not as much as before, you know, because before I had like a couple weeks in bed. I couldn't get out of bed before cannabis. It was just like maybe a month or two before that. Like I was for 2-3 weeks in the bed. I would do some things like bioenergy, nutrition, breathing, meditation to get out of the bed somehow and so on. So I had those periods, you know. Thank God I was never in a wheelchair, you know. I have to mention that because people think I never wanted in a wheelchair, but I couldn't get out of the bed for like 2 or 3 weeks. I had those periods, you know.
Do you still take the oil today?
Yes, yes, of course.
And, all of your symptoms are gone?
Oh, yeah, with the best results, the best, came second year. So that's in 2012. I realized I need to grow more. I need to make more sun for my plants, you know, take care better of them, and I got more oil, you know. And then I consumed in 2 to 3 months over 100 grams of oil. And I was sleeping, you know. I was sleeping and singing every day. What I made sure, which is really important, and I learned that from the beginning, when you use the oil, not only to have the discipline, the qualities in the first place, the discipline, but also the peaceful environment, so the surroundings around you, you know, the people in the house, they really need to understand that I have a feeling that I want to sleep or I want to sit down. I don't want to do any hard work. I'm a patient. I'm a really hard patient. All these other people that are patients, they need to understand that's their time to take the time for their body to rest. So the heavy indica extract with a lot of THC tells your body, look, sit down, lay down, or if you have dry mouth, drink some water, everything is going to be okay, and sleep. The best way to regenerate your body and to rest is to sleep, actually. You know?
Oh, Juanito, I want to ask you about your mother. She has seen you at your worst, and now she sees you today as a result of taking cannabis oil. She sees a son who was deteriorating and may have ended up in a wheelchair, but now you're normal. How does she feel?
Yeah.
How does she feel about your using cannabis?
No, man, she used to cry a lot before, you know, and I didn't know how to approach her, you know, to tell her that everything is going to be okay. And she really took, thank God for her. I mean, thank God for every mother on this world. I mean, mothers are really special, you know, and they trick their kids with unbelievable, endless love. That's what happened to me. I really had luck, and my father also. Today, she taught me that please do not smoke, do not use cannabis, that's poison, destroys your life, mind, whatever, you know. And I lived like that, but and today she's for it, actually. Hemp extract or cannabis extract with a lot of THC also helped her, you know. After all these years passed, today we know why does it help. Today we know why is it a medicine, why it's not a poison, and everything is clear to us, you know. She had problems with high blood sugar, right, like diabetes, and she had 11 or 12, and then, you know, when you come in front of the law, you try anything, and she said, let me try it, you know, and then she did. In a month, she was taking only like, what, a grain of rice or two, 10-20 milligrams of extract, and she lowered her blood sugar on 6-6.5. So then she saw that she was starting to move easier because, you know, she has some more weight than she should. But she saw, look, I have no pain in my legs. I can do this and that. Now, today, she is a true believer. You know, she's also, I'm in a court process today. You know, we didn't come to do it. I was growing my medicine. First of all, my food, hemp or cannabis, is first food, then medicine. I mean, Hippocrates said it. Let food be your medicine, and medicine let it be your food, right?
Right.
Or something like
that. Yep. Yeah.
So it's first food. So I did it for 4 years. And I mean, in 2012 and 13, after 100 grams of extract, I mean, I just can't
describe, because you know, I was losing my eyesight, you know, the sharpness and the contrast. This all came back after those 100 grams, you know, in 2 or 3 months. So that was astonishing. And then I felt that in the springtime in 2013 that I can go in the woods, and I lifted heavy wooden logs with my cousin, and I was testing myself. I couldn't believe it. I was for sure that some of the symptoms, at least something, is going to come back, but it never did come back. Today I can run up the hill. I can push the, how you call, wheelbarrow.
Right, yeah, wheelbarrow.
With weight in it, I can jump the stairs up the hill, down the hill, you name it. I can swim, I can run marathons. I mean, look, that's amazing things that I passed through, and I hope that people will hear this. And at least try, give your body a chance, you know. So the high quality, discipline, and peaceful surroundings. And just do what your body tells you, and everything is going. Please do not go out. Don't have anything to do. Like, don't go to the bank. Don't go to the store. Don't drive a car. You will do that later on.
Yeah, no, so, I think you have a wonderful story to tell, and we'll post your podcast, and people will be able to listen. And I think it's fantastic that your MS symptoms are gone and you're back to normal. It's fantastic. Very good of you to do this, Juanito.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I talk a little bit too much.
There you have it, another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. Thank you for listening, and wherever you are in the world, thank you very much for your support.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.